10 a.m.
10 a.m. We are now recording.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody. This is the Personnel Committee regular meeting, April 6, 2026. It's 10 a.m. We have no members of the audience, so we will go right to the agenda. This is the call to order. The first item on the agenda is offer letters, personnel manual to include arbitration agreement. And we have a copy of what we want to do in here.
So this is our first blush at the offer letter. I redacted one that was sent recently to a part-time gate officer.
Thank you.
I would recommend that instead of looking at this here, because it's not urgent that we update
this,
if the personnel committee has any recommended updates, bring them back next month.
Well,
is that appropriate?
I looked at it, and you know, the red lines through it are, if I'm getting it right, they're just to deal with adding arbitration to an existing agreement, correct?
Yeah.
Adding arbitration.
You know what? Clause? I think we should go back.
I think we're talking about different things.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're talking about all those things.
But first, we're talking about the offer letter.
Okay, so let me just say, I was the one who asked about this because I was sort of surprised that we did not have contracts, particularly with middle and upper management. While we do have a contract with the general manager,
that's
right,
the only one.
But we have no contracts. We just have offer letters for Director of Water Operations, for Director of Finance, for IT, for Security Supervision, et cetera. And so I was questioning whether or not we needed to have some other contracts instead of just offer letters. So Amelia got this letter, this offer letter. This is for gate officers step two, and basically what I think we need to do is take a look at all the offer letters. Are they all different?
They're all going to be this exact format.
Okay,
it's just going to change the,
So
and then there's a full-time employee. It'll say you'll accrue sick leave, vacation, personal holidays.
Okay. So,
and when that starts.
Right now, one of the updates that I felt was really important was Rancho Murrieta Community Services District agreement, and this was for consultants. When we hire a consultant, that we make sure we have a...
That's coming later in the agenda.
Why isn't it a part of personnel manual to include arbitration agreement?
Which one is it?
Maybe I have the
resolution.
Have it in the wrong order.
It's item number 4, revised services agreement, because it's
not a
personnel manual offer letter or arbitration agreement.
Right.
It's a service agreement.
All right. So the offer letters, basically, from what I understand is, and what we're looking at is that we need to beef them up, so to speak. We need to include some things in the offer letters that we don't right now, and one of them is the arbitration agreement, right?
Yeah.
No.
Wait.
So there's an offer letter. This is the offer letter. In addition to the offer letter, every new hire gets, right now they get the personnel manual and they get a bunch of different policies that they sign that they have received, read, and understood. Coming next in personnel meeting and going on to the May board agenda will be the revised personnel manual. And that will encompass all of the HR policies, dress code, travel, cell phone use. And in that, I will put a new arbitration agreement. So the brand new arbitration agreement will come next month. I've contacted the union, and I've also contacted HR to go to get a sample arbitration agreement. I figured that since the union has to write off on this, it kind of made sense to get what they already approved, their template for it. And that will go into the personnel manual. So upon hire, they'll get the offer letter. And I would like the offer letter to have your schedule. I mean, there are other things I think that this one document should have. And then once they're hired, once they've gone through background, physical, then they get the personnel manual. They sign the personnel manual that has the arbitration agreement in it. But I definitely think we need an arbitration agreement, which will basically say that before employees can take the district to court, before it goes to court, it goes to arbitration to work it out.
The only question I would have with doing it that way, and this is a Patrick question, I think, is if somebody gets an offer letter and they accept it, and then they get a personnel manual, mm-hmm. and they disagree with it, like, you know, I don't do windows, I don't do floors, I don't do arbitration. As long as everybody's on the same page, I don't really care preferentially where it goes, but
so
maybe just ask the question of Patrick, should agreeing to arbitration be a condition of employment? And if it is a condition of employment, should they essentially accept that condition when they accept their offer letter?
And maybe what we could do is, if we're going to change this offer letter to any extent, maybe we should say, you know, look at your personnel manual, items number, blah, 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 or even include some specific...
But you don't generally get a personnel manual until you're hired, correct?
That's great.
Okay.
Can I make a little suggestion? On the offer letter, since the arbitration is what you can always, at the bottom, copy and paste the part of arbitration that's actually in the personnel manual and stick it at the bottom saying,
excellent.
One of the things that will... Okay. You know, will be part of your acceptance is the acceptance of arbitration.
Very good. Very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
And this also, when I received mine, it said, this offer is contingent upon you making it over and doing your physical exam and passing
drug testing.
Mm-hmm. And background.
Yeah. And background.
Right.
And so we're going to put that all in this.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not in here, but that I really feel
I think this is pretty old.
No, this just happened. This was our most recent, one of our, like, in the last couple months.
Okay, but I agree.
Maybe. No. Yeah, but everybody should. But everybody should. Everybody has to go through background check. Everybody has to do
it. Is it okay if we just do all three arbitration things now? I mean, can we? Because that's one of them. The other is part of our contract. And I think that should just be something that, with Patrick's guidance, we could just inject into the current agreement, because it should be pretty stock.
It should be a basic template.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, that'll be going into the general manager's contract, which is the only contracted position here.
But
and John, so that you know, when I talked to Kimberly at HR to go, I said, why don't we all have contracts? And she said, because courts are looking at contracts as that you promised them that they would work here. And so it's better to not have a contract.
Yeah, my suggestion was going to be at a maximum that it go down to the director level, but I'm not even sure in an organization of 50 or 60 people that that's necessary either.
She recommended against it.
I would think the GM particularly because in any situation the GM serves at the pleasure of the board. In essence, you've got five bosses, any three of which can fire you at any time.
Right.
So there's really not a lot of people, you know, if they're not knowledgeable enough to demand a contract, then they're probably not knowledgeable enough to work here. So so maybe just the GM and everything else.
Right.
It's just a really, and I think below that, 90% of the offer letter should be stock.
Yes, yes.
And there may be some insertions for two or three higher level people.
Okay.
As they would relate to some kind of pay per performance or something.
Well, in some of what Amelia was just saying, background checks. This letter is...
Yeah, they would all be stocked. No matter who you are, you get one.
Yeah. So, John, you said you had three things. One, add this, an arbitration agreement.
The offer letter.
To the offer letter.
The
GM contract.
The consultant or contractor arbitration. You know, in other words, In other words, if you're...
when we hire TNT...
If you're TNT...
No, that's included in
their
the...
contract.
That's included
it's
in the service
in
agreement.
There. Okay, so that one's taken care of.
Yeah.
So the only other one is in a contract, which would be for the general manager.
Okay.
Those are... That's it.
And adding but it or calling it out on the offer letter.
Some basic things like background checks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, contingent on...
That's
and
the
then
word.
I'll work with.
You know, and they would be that. That's in every that, those things are in every 100% of our offer letters,
right.
And there may be some extra stuff in there depending on if you're in charge of finance or in charge of something else.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
You know,
right.
Because you may, in that deal, like Travis has mentioned, depending on how that would go, you may either require them to present these certifications up front, or you may want to stipulate that in X period of time they get these certifications, or you may want to suggest in there that they, I don't know.
So but basically,
that would not be in every offer letter. There'd only be one in particular that would show up in. So
basically, what we're saying is that we're going to revamp the offer letter, and it's going to be a little more beefy, and it's going to include arbitration condition. It's going to include contingent on
background check and physical,
right, and anything else that we need to put in there as the template, and then for maybe specific, like John's saying, specific situations, we would add to that.
I'm sorry that this came so late.
No, that's okay.
And obviously I'll change. I've already sent over the new template for the R letter itself that has the correct board of directors on there.
Okay.
Okay, and then
I'm going to
work with HR to go, because in May we're going to roll out a new personnel manual, and...
That's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah, and as a condition of employment, everyone's going to be required to sign that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that everybody who's currently here will have to sign an arbitration agreement.
And that.
And then I will go from there. I'll roll that up the hill.
So the personal manual, it will be here for the committee meeting.
In May.
May. Okay.
That's what I asked, you know, HR to go. They're doing it. So it's out of my hands, but I expect it in May.
Okay. Thank you for getting me straightened out on that.
So the next... Oh.
The next item is item number 4, revised services agreement, and that's what I started talking about. But what we want to do is make sure that when we enter into a contract with someone who is going to provide us information, for instance, WSC or... the integrated water master.
Yeah, Mattis, Atkins.
Right. Any of those contracts that we're getting, any of those people that we're getting contracts fund from, we need to make sure we include that their.
Just to the red line stuff. That was the only change I made. So Linda's asked that we add into here a clause that says, and it's right here. Is a final presentation to be made to the board of directors in the fee schedule? If not, what would be the timeline and cost for making a presentation to the board of directors? So it's a check. You know, if it's going to be in here, check it. It's already included in the fee schedule. And if not, how much would it cost?
I think one of the things we need to put, two things we need to put in there also, at the request of the board of directors or of the
is a final presentation to be made to the board of directors.
Yeah, but we need to include board of directors, residents, because when
the residents don't get to ask this board to pay more money for a presentation. If they want a presentation, they can
pay
for
it. Okay, so then put it. What I want to say is that it's not just a presentation to make to the board of directors. We could be making a presentation at a town hall meeting. We could be making a presentation at a public hearing like we had before. So I'm trying to get in there, like the types of presentations we're talking about.
But the board of directors would be there for the presentation, so whether we had it here or the country club. But
I don't ever want to be put in the position again of having to have our feet held to the fire that in order to get three town hall meetings, we're going to have to pay $30,000 more. And I want to avoid that.
I do, too. That was
so
not a great...
Whatever point. Makes this very understandable and very clear is how we should put it out there.
So you could get, you know, somehow get Patrick or somebody to suggest language, but something like if or should...
A final presentation.
A presentation to the board of directors be necessary. Please indicate if this has been included in your proposal.
Is the final presentation to be made to the board of directors included in the fee schedule? Yes? No?
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. That's good.
If not, what would be the timeline and cost for making a presentation to the board of directors?
Good.
Thank you.
So, and we'll just insert that into...
It's in there. It's on the red line. This will go to the board with the committee's blessing. And
why? Okay. So I'm still wondering, in the Integrated Water Master Plan, presentations were made to the board, but we were charged for presentations made to the community in town hall meetings, and that was what we ended up paying $30,000 for, those meetings. That was not included in the original agreement,
right?
And therefore, it had to come back to the board for approval.
That's really a special case because it was clearly understood that we were paying for the bare bones analysis, and that's what we got.
Travis.
Yeah.
Can we just ask them what their cost would be per presentation, like, and then the board can decide.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for this particular one, we're going to want to do three town halls and two board reports. Mm-hmm. So they can have them do a line item in their quote, how much it is per presentation, and then the board can decide depending on what the thing is, how many they want.
Okay.
And then all they're giving us is, hey, it's $10,000 per presentation. And then you decide how many you want.
Right.
Okay. Is a final presentation to be made to the board included in the fee schedule? We'll leave that and say, and then we'll have another one. Please indicate the per price. Please indicate the per presentation price for additional presentations.
So if we have a requirement to know exactly how many times our gardener is going to mow each month, and we require a presentation to do that.
Yes.
We now have the facility.
We know.
To make that happen.
Yeah, we know exactly how much it's going to be before we ask him to come back. Okay, I will make that change. And with that, may I bring it to the board of directors?
Yeah.
In April for approval?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like I said, I just want to make sure that there's no question about the fact that
we're
not paying after the fact.
And after the fact, we're not going to be your prisoners for you to say, oh, yeah.
$10,000.
Yeah, 10, 12, 50.
Right.
Whatever you want. Exactly. I agree.
Okay. All right.
Anything else I can simplify for you?
God, thank you, Travis, for showing up today. This is really great. General Manager and Director of Operations, recruitment update, General Manager salary survey. So that's all in here. What do we want to say about this?
Where it's...
Oh, Amelia's going to maybe do the recruitment update.
Yeah, I was going to say we're out there, right?
Yeah.
The recruitment update. I've spoken with Carl Karskaden. And he's very easy to work with. He'll be reaching out to the board. I haven't gotten him. Anyway, not Carl Karskaden. Cahill. Cahill? I met with him last week. I'll be sending out contact information for the board members. He'll be reaching out to you to have one-on-one interviews with everybody to talk about what we're looking for in a general manager. And that'll be a couple of weeks of that. In the meantime, we'll be working on the marketing brochure and then going over an advertising and recruiting plan. And then he'll start the actual recruiting later on this month.
So you see this as...
Oh, if anybody has any photos that we own that we would like to put in the brochure.
Jim, we had photos in the last one. When we did the meeting.
One photo on the front page.
Is that all it was?
No. Oh. That's what I...
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and let the professional marketing firm decide how many photographs we're going to put in the brochure. And how they'll be placed. So I'm looking for photos. I'll send over the ones that we used last time, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're gonna prepare the marketing and
that's all included in the price.
Yeah, you're gonna get a brush over of that right after it's.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll have final approval on that.
Should have some pictures of our beautiful facility in there.
Yes.
I just don't want it to be. A selling tool. Okay, so you think that we will be rolling this out by the end of the month?
Yes.
And that's basically what we needed to know.
Is that for both of the positions or just the general manager as the director of operations started?
So the general manager will... I need to talk about that. Where's that on here? The general manager will be first. I expect that to be completed by the last part of June.
You mean the hiring?
The hiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, person in the seat. And as soon as that is done, then we're going to start the official recruitment for the director of operations. Because he recommended, you know, I have to follow the advice of people who are far more qualified. The gentleman who's doing our recruiting was a city manager for city of, oh, I keep reading it and I forget it, for Los Altos, maybe? And he said that the director of operations is going to want to know who the general manager is and who he's going to be working for before he starts. So that was his recommendation, that we not do them both at the same time. So then that's July.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
And it kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Saying,
it makes sense, but it's a long time.
But it's a really long time. So that means that Travis will be there, because then that'll take another 3 months. So Travis will be interim director of... You can be interim general manager, too.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but, I mean, I'm not the professional. I think the stability of the district is a little bit more important, and I firmly believe that we need to get a permanent, not interim, but a permanent director of operations in there that
can focus,
that lower staff, operations staff, can bring their problems to, and not to just anybody that they see in here, that they walk in, that they just happen to be having a discussion with. That's my opinion based on the current situation that the district is in. Because, you know, we're in a controlled chaos to an extent right now.
Right.
And
I agree.
And we need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get some stability. But I'm not the professional, and I agree that if we were not in the situation that we're in,
that would make sense.
That would make sense. But I firmly believe we need some
direction
and permanent with power leadership, not an interim person where other people can go, well, you know, you're just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's more to it. That's a big part of it. I think that's a really big part of it, because we do have somewhat of a chaotic situation in the most important,
in one of the most important.
We are a water district.
So. Right. Yeah. So the other part of that is all of the infrastructure issues that we are facing, all of the development issues that we are facing. I really think we need to get somebody in here too quickly so that they can adapt and adjust and start dealing with that stuff.
Yeah, because little by little, my head that's above water.
Right.
I'm about like right below the nose now.
So maybe we could explain to the... this up when I talked about the recruiting schedule at the last board meeting and you approved it and I signed the contract.
Okay, well, I was not aware of that. I just...
Say that again? What did you just
say? I would have known this before the last board meeting when you guys told me to approve the contract, and I approved the contract. But I will go back and see what his bandwidth is to do both recruitments at the same time.
Yeah. This is just what I've been preaching since day one.
And one of the things that... makes it maybe a little bit easier to do it at the same time as we don't have to do a brochure. We don't have to go through that whole process that we're going through with the general manager. We have a...
We will. No, they'll make up a brochure. We had a brochure the last time we hired that person.
Well, if they're going to do... They offered to do it for 50%. What was that conversation?
It was 27.5 for the first... 17.5 for the second, so $45,000 altogether for both. But I can ask him. I mean, we've just barely started the talks about the general manager. I can see if we can look for that director of operations first.
No,
because that person is vital. That's where we're really.
I don't understand why we can't do them. Maybe start the one and then start the next one soon after. As soon as we have the stuff done for and go out, April, and then when that's done, then put together whatever we need to put together for the water operations.
And what do you do? Just let me ask the theoretical question.
Okay.
What do you do when people start applying for both?
You have two separate folders. I won't have any of those come to me, so. You know, I mean, they just have two separate emails and put them in different piles. That's what I would do if I was recruiting. Who the top people are.
Right, but they'll decide that one person, they'll decide whether they are more geared up for director of operations or if they're more geared up for
general manager
because director of operations tend to be general managers.
Okay, have that conversation with them up front. You know, we're going to rely on you to sort these. You can. I suppose if they're applying for both and you respond to them on one specific one, then that's what it is. Okay.
Well, if they're applying for both and they're going to, if they want to be considered for both, then they need to send an application into both.
Great idea.
I'm confused.
And a good recruiter is going to be able to look at the resumes and what they've done and say, even if they only apply for the director of operations, say, this is a person who actually has the qualifications for a general manager or vice versa.
Okay.
And have that conversation with the person.
I'm confused. Why can't they be doing both of these at the same time?
I don't see.
I mean,
any
is this
reason.
A one? I mean, is this a one man operation or is this a company?
No, there's
because I mean, you're charging us for this and this. This one doesn't require as much. Right. I don't see why we have to wait for one. Do them both at the same time. Yeah. It's just the GM is going to require more steps, but, you know, they can't, I don't see why they can't be doing them both at the same
time.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
So you need to bring it. Something to the board for approval to increase the amount of the contract, correct?
No.
That's already done.
We already voted on the...
Yes.
On the second 17,000?
Yeah, yeah. If it was in the 17,000, I was authorized to go for it.
Okay.
It was $500 over, but I have a $5,000 spending limit, and and I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
so
that's fine.
Just okay.
I already asked him, so we'll see what he says, what our possibilities are.
Okay.
But I'm going to bring the recruiting update to the board every month. Okay. Anyway, at the board meeting, so you
right,
guys
right.
know good. What I'm doing.
Okay. So we all agree.
Okay,
on
so
it.
Then I
we're
going
to try to get
both of them at the
going,
same time
going together.
Yeah,
at least
because the director of operations and the developers and that is
we
that,
all we need guidance.
We need that.
On
yeah,
both
we need
levels.
That person desperately.
Mm-hmm. So the other thing is our director of operations position is going to be ready to go out at the end of this month, right?
The general manager.
Yeah, the general manager.
Yes.
Right. And so all that preliminary stuff and everything is done. We won't have to do as much with the water the director of water
yeah,
operations.
Exactly.
And so there's not really, like you said, Travis, there's yeah. not really a shouldn't really be a problem with going out for both.
Right.
Two different ads. Okay.
Right. Yeah, right. I would love that.
Yeah, I would like it too. That's item number 5.
There's one more item there.
Revised director of operations job description.
So in talking with, and I've already talked to Travis this morning. Carl.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We missed B, general manager salary survey.
Oh, that's important.
Yeah. All right, so we have a copy of this in the packet, and the above chart includes the recommendations of HR to go and offers an annual range of 213,344 to 263,638. Does that?
In speaking with Carl over at Peckham, he said I looked at your website and saw that your general manager salary hadn't been updated since 2024. I said that's right. He says, well, we have to get that updated. If you're going to be competitive, we have to do that. I said, well, we have just had a new salary survey. He says, get it approved. Get it up there. That's going to attract a higher quality individual for the job.
Yeah. Have we adopted this salary survey?
You adopted the salary survey for everybody with the exception of the director of operations and the general manager.
Okay. So... where do we go with this? Do we have to go to the board and say...
Oh, sure, you betcha.
Okay. But we're going to, as a committee, we're going to accept that recommendation of those prices, and then we'll present it to the board.
And if you'd like, since now you're heating up the timeline for the director of operations, maybe it's a good time to extend this and approve
both of them.
Yeah.
Good point.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, do both
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once.
Okay, do both of them. Thank you. Boy, things change by the minute.
Well, I think that, like I was telling you earlier, one of the things that I always forget when I'm in a panic about getting the stuff done for the committee is that this is the discussion place. This is where we make these changes
right.
and make these decisions. So when we go to the board, we have tried to address all of the possible issues.
Yes, yeah, so that we can work it all out.
Right. Thank you, Amelia.
And not be in the board meeting for hours. And then,
the next thing
I have on here is the revised director of operations job descriptions. So back to our friend Carl over at Peckham. He says, I can find you a general manager. I can do that. He says, but I'm going to have a really hard time finding a director of operations for you. Why is that? He says, those certifications. I can find lots of people who can do that job and don't have those certifications, but it's going to be hard to find. I said, well, they have 18 months. He says, it would be better if those were made preferred. So that, again, is on his recommendation. And then I talked to a friend of mine who I think is going to speak now, who knows more about this than I do. That's the thing about me. I'm never going to say I know what I don't know.
Those certification levels are mandatory. They're mandated by the state.
But they're mandatory that we have one employee, I thought.
Okay. Yes, and I currently have the certs required, mm-hmm. but if I got hit by a cupcake truck,
pie truck.
Or whatever, there needs to the director of operations should have those certifications. Another person on staff should have those certifications, or you're going to end up coming in and you're going to be bringing in a contract operator that has those certifications, and then that person is going to be making all the decisions, signing all the reports and everything, because the director of operations can't. Nobody right now can sign any of those reports except for me, especially the wastewater one. So to make these preferred, now you're relying on me
staying here forever.
And the thing is, those then the director of operations, right now it would be the chief plant operator is basically telling the director of operations, don't touch my stuff, because everything's in my name. The state mandates that for the wastewater plant, the chief plant operator or above needs to have a grade 4 wastewater. Period. The state mandates for our water treatment plant, the chief plant operator and above have a grade 3 water. Now, the last two director of operations had one or the other. Okay, but I've had them, and so it hasn't been such a important thing. Paul had them all.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's I don't know, but the state doesn't say it's preferred. The state says you will have these certifications.
So the state says that one person on staff will have those. How about the rest of your staff, Travis? Where are their certifications at?
So Corey's got a wastewater 3, because...
And you have to have wastewater 4?
Nope. The for staff to work at the wastewater plant, they have to have... I have to have at least a grade 3 person on staff working to work the wastewater plant tertiary process.
Okay, so, but to file the reports?
It has to be a 4.
It has to be 4. And so all we have is one grade 3?
I have one grade 3. Ryan's in the process of getting his, and I'm the only grade 4.
Okay, and for the other one?
It's just the water is just grade 3, and there's like 4 of us that have 3s. But
okay.
The only person that can sign the report is the person who is registered with the state as the chief plant operator. Or that's just so. If we're gonna go, my recommendation is if we're gonna go preferred, then the wastewater 4 would be the more preferred, other than the water 3. Okay.
So then you want it to be a mandatory wastewater 4.
No, mandatory 3.
The wastewater 4 is the more important of the two. That's because it takes a lot longer to get. It's a lot harder. I don't know how you want to word it, but it's just that you have to always on staff have somebody registered with the state to sign the reports. For the wastewater, it has to be a grade 4 or higher. And for the water, it has to be a grade 3 or higher. Now, as it sits right now, you guys are stuck with me for at least the next 5 years. So, I mean, if you hire somebody that doesn't have them, there is time.
Yeah, to think that you could come in here with even being smart.
Yeah.
To come in here with no certifications, it's literally impossible to get up to a 4 in 18 months. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that might... I would have to get clarification on this. I don't know if a registered engineer bypasses those. I'm not 100% sure. So that would have to be something that would have to be looked at. But I'm not sure.
Let me make sure that, not that I understand. I get it.
Okay.
I get it. And I get the problem of not having somebody in a managerial or director position who doesn't have it. The problem we have is two things, at least. One is the chaotic environment and the need to get somebody in a position who can direct that department. The other part of that is the expectation from that director is beyond, you know, supervising the operators and the chief plant operator, et cetera. So the way I look at it is that if this is the right person and they can work with the chief plant operator and they can work with the people and they show up at the, you know, at the facilities and they are not just liked but respected by the person who is doing this job, that that would make for a much more cohesive situation in that department. I think those qualities are really, really needed.
Absolutely.
And we haven't had them before, and so it makes it difficult to try and get both. It's hard. At least from what Carl is telling us.
And yes.
The thing is, though, let's just, since we're in, you know, let's just say you hire somebody that's got a 3 and a 3. Mm-hmm. And realistically, within a certain amount of time, the person can get their 4.
Okay. I get
that's possible.
Right.
Like you said, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Okay. But
a backup is still important.
Here's where your big problem is going to be. The person sitting in that chair, to be able to qualify to go up to the next level, you have to have working time.
Book smart.
Not just book smart. You
have I've been threatening to go and get mine for
you
years.
You have to have working time. And then you have the person that is registered as the right now has to put their name on that legal document that says yes, this person has the working to do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, and they can come out and do some time, and you know, because they're going to need to learn their facilities anyways. But I personally think that if they don't quite have it, but within a reasonable amount of time, like the thing says 18 months, but if he or she can reasonably get the required certs within 2 to 3 years, you know, that's all. Those are also people that can be looked at. But I just.
What if we? Excuse me.
That's fine.
What if we change the adverb, whatever it is. Instead of preferred, we could say expected.
There you go. Yeah, I just that preferred word can become, it says preferred. It doesn't say I have to have it.
Yeah, right.
Thing.
And then we could even add the caveat, I guess you would call it, of what's expected, and that would be the grade 3 and the grade 4 eventually.
Yeah.
Is there some way to put that so that...
Because I think it's going to be a little bit easier to... It's not going to be as difficult as the guy is saying. I could be wrong. I don't know what's out there. This is the only place I've worked.
But you know what the requirements are.
Yeah, I know what the requirements are, and I know what the state wants. And I also know that we were paying, $200-something an hour to have that guy come out while I was trying to pass my grade 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just not... I say we shoot for the moon, and then if we have to... see what we get.
When you say the $200 an hour, how many? What when that guy was coming out? What did he do?
He sat there and he signed all the reports. That's all we had him for. But we had to part of him coming out as I think we offered a minimum. He also did other work. He did a lot of our updating our procedures.
Was that Andres?
No, that was Roger.
Roger.
Yeah, I had him updating all of our policies because he was good at all that stuff. But his main reason that he was here is because he had a wastewater 5, and that was what was needed to be able to legally run the facility. And he was a contract operator.
Mm-hmm. So in a desperate situation, you get hit by a pie truck.
Yeah, you can hire a contract operator.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we have plenty of water 3s here that, mm-hmm. you know, if they want to, your thing would just be the wastewater 4. Because none of my operators are going to
fill in.
Yeah, they've already told me, no way we're going to get our 4. We don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's a hard test. It took me 6 times to pass it. That's hard test.
Wow.
Especially
and you have that working time.
Yes.
Times of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just these are just things that the you know.
No, having all of that information is good, especially yeah. what the requirements are, et cetera.
Is there language? And I've seen this for years in different ads. It uses the word as opposed to preferred. Or required, people use the word helpful.
Yeah, but helpful is also
helpful preferred. Suggestive.
Yeah, no, I know they're suggestive, yeah. but we're not. If we're gonna back off of required, we need another word.
Well, I like expected.
Expected?
I like expected.
Are you gonna then clarify?
I like expected, and I like it to say possession and maintenance of within 18 months of entering this position is required. And I'll do that for the wastewater.
Good.
I would make that 24 because of the time frames for the test. For that particular job description, if it's possible, I would give at least 24.
Okay.
So that means that they've got, so that means they know they've got their 2 at least, probably got their 3, and they've got the hours in. And they just got to do their final studying and get in there and get that test taken.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that, yeah.
And then leave the grade 3 water treatment, leave that at preferred?
Mm-hmm. No, you still have to have it. I mean, we've got people that have them, but they're, you know,
they're not the ones signing documents.
Yeah, they're not registered because you have to... I had to fill out a little form within 30 days of me taking over the position. You know, I am the person that the signature is going to be. So.
Okay. Okay, got it. And then the last one on here is preferred possession and maintenance of grade 1 collection system maintenance certificate. Do they have to have that? Can I leave that preferred?
What's a collection system?
That's the underground. That's not anything that's stated that has to have.
Okay, so that can stay preferred.
Yeah, or you can just leave that on there. Just,
preferred.
Yeah, just yeah. or you know, just because I don't have one.
So it's preferred but not required.
Yeah, it's not required.
Okay, got it. So with those changes, may I take this to the board for approval? Thank you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
I think we're okay. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Really appreciate it.
Okay, did that.
Okay. Now we're down to item number 6. And I have some presentations up for discussion. I need to get the... let me just start by saying we've been operating under a temporary org chart.
Yes.
And we have that up there. And especially with the hiring of a general manager, but even more so before we get to that point, is to have an org chart that we expect to work by. And so I said We're about to launch our search for general manager and a water operations director. It should be director. It is now time to address our temporary org chart and address a permanent one. The changes and updates on the chart will provide us with a plan to go forward in an organized and cost-effective approach to the functioning of the district. So, oh, we can't see it.
I'm sorry, I have to close again.
That's okay. I need to find my copy because I can't see it anyway.
Here, do you want my copy?
Okay. Thank you. That has the chart.
Oh, those just are, print that for you?
I need the chart. I mean, I have the chart, but I just...
Do you want the new one?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me print that up for you right away.
If I have a minute, I'm sure chart. I can find it. But
okay. You want the new one?
Chart. You want the new chart or the old chart?
I'll bring
the
it
new
right
chart.
To you.
Okay, here's the new chart.
Okay. Which I can't see, but...
Still can't see it, huh?
No, that's okay. It's up there, and you guys can help me. So the first portion of this is the finance and admin department. It's in there somewhere. There it is.
There's your new one.
Yeah. Thank you. The first part of this is addressing the finance and admin department, and we've had this department combined for too long. The department description has not provided a workable approach to either department. The finance department should stand alone to provide the necessary and extremely important financial functions of the district. Managing and directing, it should be directing, okay? Because they are the finance, the director of finance.
Right.
Directing the department correctly is demanding and requires the complete attention of a highly trained accounting professional. Currently, most administrative tasks are being performed by the interim general manager. Separating these two departments will require some minor changes to the district director of finance job description and will be addressed with the collaboration of our finance director, Cecilia Min, and personnel committee, and then given to HR to go for final approval. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. And when is that going to happen? We need that to happen now. So we're working in that way. And at the administrative manager position will be addressed in the item below. Okay. Water operations director, review the new director job description. We've done that. Changes and clarifications made to the job description will be given to the HR department or HR to go. Both the GM search and the director of water operations search have been given to Peckham and McKinney Executive Search Company. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
I signed it.
The temporary org chart reflects the existing and future structure of the department of, and it will take place upon the hiring of the new director of operations. Does everybody agree with that?
Well, I on this chart up here, the director of operations isn't on there. Should it?
Oh,
that was a typo. So
oh, okay. Because in the regular org, chief and utility supervisor should be
below the director
under
of operations,
the director of
right?
Operations,
okay.
Yep. We just got that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh no, I have this. This chart, is this the new one? Because this says September 2025.
That needs to be updated as well.
Okay, here's the new one. You're right. We didn't put that. It was just a typo, right? So we're going to fix that.
Yeah.
Okay. The security supervisor, that remains the same, and he is supervisor. He is supervised by the general manager. Everybody agree with that? And IT, Andy Lee, will be supervised by the general manager. Do we want to call him a manager, or do we just want to leave his position?
He's currently a manager. He's an IT
okay.
manager.
All right, IT manager.
So can I? Is there a reason why he's not being supervised by the director, by the manager of administration?
Because there's no supervisory positions in that.
Currently. But we're making a. Oh, okay. No, then I'll
withdraw the question.
No, and you know, Travis, they're all across that top line as reporting in directly to the general manager. At some point, if he or she wants to change that,
okay, all
right, right.
That's up to them. Yeah.
And already that IT
position,
manager of administrative services and IT, work together very, very closely on
he would need things. To work with all the departments that
he
way.
Needs to work with all the departments, but I work with him really closely because and so does Travis because we have our individual
the arbitration in that process is if, as it relates to IT is always one of priority. There's always 11 things that need to be done.
Mm-hmm. For IT,
and somebody
oh, sure.
needs to rank them 1 to 11, which will ultimately, I suspect, be the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that point,
right.
if you're going to decide we're going to do this phone project or we're going to do this, you know,
right. You're right. That's absolutely
telemetry problem with, you know, talking to the water plant, that's up to the GM to really decide. Everyone's is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only... Travis is his number one. I get that.
So, as manager, he will be supervised by the GM, and he will be in charge of coordinating, directing, making the list, etc., and bringing it to the general manager.
That's
the way it goes. Okay. All right. Finally, the changes in... clerk of the board and district secretary job description.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're suggesting is that we have a manager of administrative services and a clerk of the board, and the district secretary and clerk of the board job descriptions will be combined into one, right?
The administrative manager, clerk of the board, district secretary will be one. But we're going to leave district secretary.
We're going to leave district secretary.
We're not going to have that on the title. It's just going to be manager of administrative services / clerk of the board.
Right. My point being that when district secretary falls off of the job description, then it doesn't mean that the duties fall away.
That's correct.
Okay, great.
And in an attempt to balance the budget, this was our compromise.
Yeah, among other things.
Yeah, and when you get, you know, district secretary is a bylaw appointment, not bylaw, but appointed by law, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a standalone position.
No.
In a cemetery district, I will guarantee you that it's not.
Right, it's probably the general manager / district secretary.
So what you see downtown, for example, is the clerk of the board does all of those things that are assigned to the district secretary.
Right, right.
Clerk
that,
of the board.
That was my point.
manages the functioning of the board of directors.
Exactly.
And managing of the agenda and all of that stuff. And,
right.
Yeah. Coordinates with the legal representation, the county attorney, and all that other stuff. Okay.
And this position still reports to both the general manager and the board president.
No.
The board.
No. The manager of administrative services and the clerk of the board. Oh, I see what you're saying. You need to clarify somehow that the responsibility of this person, as it relates to the president of the board, is to prioritize or authorize.
Well, maybe we could
functions.
Say
if somebody calls in here and says I need you know the last 14 Proposition 218 notices.
That's me. That's clerk of the board.
That's clerk of the board. I don't.
Because that's so a maybe, PR. That's a
I'm
PRA request.
I'm wondering why the president of the board has to be.
The president of the board is there so that there's an open communication, so that things that the president needs to know that nobody else in the organization is authorized to take him aside and say, oh, I wanted to talk to you about...
Setting the agenda?
Or
whatever.
Yeah, whatever needs to be talked about.
What if we said manager of administrative services, clerk of the board, and put in parentheses, responsibilities... I had it. Now it's gone. some way of saying the clerk of the board, their responsibilities are...
And delineate between what they're going to do that reports to the general manager.
Yeah, yeah. How do we say that?
Board president?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I was on the outside looking in when we created the clerk of the board position.
Right.
And I saw how Amelia was literally, not literally, but figuratively ripped in two between the general manager and the board president.
Yeah, the general manager situation was such that.
Right. And so the reason why I think that the person in that position should only report to one person is because if the board president comes to the person that says, hey, I want you to do this, and then but the general manager's like, no, we're not going in that direction. I want you to do this. Then that person is in a predicament. Who are they going to listen to? Who's going to, you know, because then you make that person feel uneasy on what they need to do. I don't know if it's possible that person, yes, that person can communicate with the board president. But I think that job position should only be taking direction from the general manager.
I think you can then at that point, just like we mentioned on the top line of that organizational chart, if the board president can certainly go to the general manager and say, I need 18 mm-hmm. propositions, mm-hmm. do 18 messages. And
right, that right, I see.
You may wind up doing the work.
Oh, yeah.
But then we can kind of make, if they want to have a nuance to that reporting authority, that is what the general manager would prefer to do, then he can do it, or she can do it.
Can we?
So I would leave it. I would just take out board president altogether.
Very good. Okay.
Oh, did I put that in there? I didn't put that in there.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was sweeping up Amelia's hair that she was pulling out.
So anyways, uh-huh. What I said was we need to review the past and present to get to the now and the future. Prior to the existing situation, we did not have a designated administrative manager. However, the district has had administrative manager positions.
Yes.
Mark Martin hired Tom Hennig as an administrative manager. And way back when, Darlene Gilliam was a district manager secretary to the to Ed Krause, the general manager.
Right.
And then when he left, she became the general manager. But she was originally the equivalent of and actually had a title, I think, that was administrative manager.
Yeah, and then so, they changed it to the assistant general manager.
Yeah, right. You're right. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Anyways, we have had managers of administration, and I can't, as I will go through in a second, I can't think of a better position to help this district run smoothly.
Absolutely.
We need that position. So prior to
when that position was created, it was much like it is now to oversee all of admin and mm-hmm. all of finance. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you can have two people do one job, I mean, one person do two people's jobs.
Well, and that was why originally when I talked about finance and admin department, that department description has not provided a workable approach to either department. The finance department should stand alone, and the managing administration services should stand alone, and that was where we were going with that. As discussed above, these two departments should be separate. Workload for both positions is enormous, and job responsibilities rarely overlap. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. The position of clerk of the board, district secretary, was previously held by Amelia Wilder. In this position, Ms. Wilder grew into our district historian, provider of information at a moment's notice, addressing and providing any and all information requested by the district slash board, and willingly taking on any task and completing it. She regularly performed tasks not in her job description because they needed to be done. She has a keen ability to assess needs and multitask. Her dedication and commitment to this district is exceptional. When asked to fill the position of interim general manager, she accepted the challenge, and challenge it has been and would be for most. In an attempt to relieve Ms. Wilder of some duties and responsibilities while she was the interim general manager, a temporary position for clerk of the board slash district secretary was hired, and that's Diane Fleet. Uh-huh. Diane has done an admirable job in this position. She has also taken on tasks not required in her job description. Because of that, the RMCSD offices are cleaner, better organized, and more pleasurable to work in. However, we have reached a point where decisions need to be made regarding restructuring. The restructuring would reflect the current needs of the district. A new organization chart based on the hiring of a GM and a water operations director and updated job descriptions must be addressed. And that's what we've been talking about today. So our recommendation is that a position entitled Manager of Administrative Services, Clerk of the Board, are we still leaving that in there? Okay. Would encompass all aspects of Ms. Wilder's position and the district's need to expand that position description. A more comprehensive and extensive role is required for the present and future of the district. The new title would expand the responsibilities and revise the job title. Ms. Wilder will play a vital role in assisting our new GM as she begins their new position. Okay. A new job description is required to encompass all three positions. The new position description will eliminate the need for two separate positions. We would suggest a compensation increase of 1.5% over her pre-interim GM compensation of $120,000. This increase would be more than covered by the combining of positions. Benefits would remain the same. The combined positions would assist and be supervised by the general manager, GM. The current clerk of the board secretary temporary position would be eliminated. We're sorry to have to say that. timing and processes to be determined. So, any corrections, any additions?
Is that happening now or once the new GM is hired?
Timing and processes to be determined.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way after the new GM is hired.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's not starting tomorrow?
No. No.
Bye.
So, and I want to reiterate that Diane has been an incredible addition to the to the position and to the district in general. And sadly, we can't keep her temporary because that's very expensive, and we can't hire a new separate position under the current budget. So. This is what I want to present as far as as addressing all of these situations for the new org chart to the board. And so if we have committee agreement.
And then do we have committee agreement on the changes made to the job description, which are in the packet?
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll bring that up.
And that's what I'm looking at. That was pretty much the changes to the red line, right?
I mean, right.
Precisely.
And we don't have any.
I think I encompassed everything that we discussed. I don't know. I guess it was Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
It's all a blur.
I basically don't know how you do it, but you're going to do it. So we'll change the. We'll add the. Director of. Water operations. Right.
Director of Operations.
Just Operations?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're going to have the Director of Operations job description, General Manager survey, and the change, and this new job description all in the
packet for the board.
Uh-huh, and it's all going to be under consent calendar.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to continue to try and...
Yeah, and that means simply before you get here, you got to read it.
Right.
And if you want to pull it out and ask a question, mm-hmm, you can pull
right,
it out.
Right, right. But that saves time because I think we went up to P last time, so that's 13, I don't know.
Yeah.
On the consent calendar, and only one got taken out as opposed to talking about...
Every single one of them. But one of the things that you did do when you were going through all of those is you basically, you did a one-liner. This is what this means.
Right.
And so that was really helpful to me because
okay.
I always have that... What are we approving?
Right. Just to make a comment.
Just to be clear that as it relates to issues concerning personnel, what we've done is we have essentially put into the finance director's job description any and all
finance-related
mm-hmm. personnel
right,
activities.
Right, right.
Beyond that, the rest of it is the responsibility of the general manager to delegate or deal with as he or she sees fit.
Right, right.
And
which is
a lot of that off the organizational chart,
mm-hmm.
Is going to be discretionary. I mean, the only thing that person walks through the door inheriting is the newly combined position of the administrative services manager.
And the breaking up of the finance and admin.
Yeah, right.
Well, and we don't know what skills that general manager is, because by the time a person gets to that level in their career, not only do they have a lot of knowledge about running a special district, maybe it's running a water district, maybe it was running some other kind of district,
mm-hmm.
maybe they came with a strong background from HR or from IT or from finance. So we don't know what their, if their major is being a general manager, they're going to have some minors
mm-hmm.
in there. So we don't know what those are going to be.
Yeah, well,
I would think so.
They kind of have to in order
to make this work. I mean, again, at that point in your career level.
Right.
I would think you'd have more than just one thing.
I'm thinking of one in particular where... maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay.
Okay.
So, thank you
so
for
we
the
feel good about that.
Uh-huh. And thank you for the direction.
Okay. Item number 7, is that where we are? Strategic
yes,
planning workshop. I put this in here because we've tossed this idea around... a variety of times at board meetings, and we got to the actual point of picking a facility,
a company
that will facilitate the workshop, and also we got money from the board to be able to do it. However, certain legal situations put that on hold. I believe I said, what did I call it, Amelia? Postponed. So
okay.
In this situation that we are in now, I really see this strategic planning meeting needs to be more focused. And so I have suggested the following basic outline for a strategic planning workshop. I think one thing, since there have been changes in the Brown Act, I think we need to go over that. It probably won't take a hugely long time, but that should be a part of the meeting. Also, board responsibilities. I've said this a few times, but it absolutely is indicated from CSDA, et cetera, that the board is responsible for determining the mission, the vision, and the objectives.
Right.
And we haven't done that since 2021. And I don't...
It was the last time that you had goals, but as far as I can tell, the mission statement from the district...
When?
2005.
Okay.
Okay. So
okay.
We really need to address this.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 2004.
A lot's changed in 20 years.
Okay. Yes, quite a bit, as
yes,
a matter of fact.
Yes, quite a bit.
And then the last part of it would be the comprehensive strategic plan, which I see, yes, we want to address waste, solid waste removal. We can talk about that for a few minutes. The security department, and that would take some time. But the main focus I would like to see under the comprehensive strategic plan is the water operations. And I was trying to figure out who we could get to direct that. And Amelia came up with a great idea, because we're already working with them, and that would be Loomis. And no,
because they came up with the report.
Yeah,
I think you should have somebody other than them review the Loomis report and make their recommendations.
Okay,
that's just my thing. Two separate entities. That way, you know, somebody sitting in the back corner can't go, well, no, of course they want to do this. They recommended it. You have a complete separate entity review the report and then make their suggestions.
That's all going to happen, I think. I'm working with Cecilia, and you'll see it in finance on Thursday. We are, in order to have a five-year rate study, we have to get the audits done, and then we have to do a new CIP, which is the Luma study, which was all of the things that we're going to need in the district that are going to need to be replaced, and in what order. So that has to be updated, because it's 2 years old already. And then with the CIP plan, that will give us an idea of how much money we need to put in reserves for the next several years and what those rates need to be for the next several years, because that's going to identify projects that need to be done right away and projects that can be done in 5 years, 10 years.
The part of that you need that's contributory. And if you look at the rate study at EID, and you look specifically, the one that's really interesting is the one at SACWA downtown.
Okay.
That Brown Caldwell did. I mean, to see how extensive that study really is.
Oh, for their rate study?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it that contributes to that, understanding that you need audits to do it, and that, you know, everybody else, when they start, they have the audits in front
right.
of them, is you need to calculate the update from Loomis or whoever.
Yeah, I think we'll have them update.
Gives you a current appraisal of what your five-year needs are in terms of reserves.
5, 10, 15, and 20.
But projecting out, if you're going to go into the muni market for a bond, or you're going to go for a CFD
to
cover the cost of this infrastructure, that's also a key piece of your infrastructure, because you need to know, based on the rate and the amount of money you are going to borrow,
what we'll be able to pay back.
What the timeline is, mm-hmm. if it's a 20-year bond or a 30-year bond, you're going to know a fixed amount of money that is contributory to the total.
Uh-huh.
But you got to have all those pieces done before you can do the rate study.
Yes. And along with that utility rate study will be a developer rate study, because that'll also be able to identify the compounded need that the developments are going to have on our infrastructure.
Yes, the developer fees.
Right?
That fee study.
Yeah, that developer fee study will be part of. So there are projects.
I looked at that Loomis report, and it was so detailed.
Oh, it's a fantastic report, and I'm not saying we don't use that report.
No. But what I liked about it also is that it was broken up into five-year periods.
Absolutely.
And so when you're looking for CIPs and all of the things that are going to have to go into that, what better group of people than Loomis to explain that?
Then that's fine. The only reason I said no is I was just trying to avoid any appearance of favoritism or whatever, but you are correct not thinking they already broke it down. I'll go ahead and reverse my no.
Okay.
Cecilia's, I mean, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but we've talked about it, and she said that it probably makes more sense after we get that report back from Loomis to go to another company and let them do the rate study.
And I think
it's somebody who specializes in rate studies.
You're going to get, I think you will get the benefit of the legal advice at a high level that comes with that, because we're going to pick a water lawyer.
To next week.
And part of the thinking in that starts to be, we have, you know, we've made the statement before, we have a responsibility and a requirement to SB 552, and if not to that, then to basic survival.
Right.
Define water to support us in an emergency.
Right.
And there are, in my mind, three alternatives to that. We're only talking about one of them. One, that's groundwater.
Yes.
Okay. There is the newly adopted law that allows us to take recycled water, convert it to potable, and blend it with water, for example, in Lake Clair. And Travis and I have had a basic discussion about PFAS and the impact of that, whether it be on that project or it be in knowing that over that next five-year period, we're going to have requirements no matter what to put it on the front end. If we have that, that's a lot of money, okay? And if do we have the ability to literally, basically in having a conversation with EID, to contract somehow or explore somehow or experiment somehow with bringing water down the river
from there
at X period of time? All of this, on top of all of the other things we already know about, like recycled water for residential use, we need permits for everything. All of that costs money. So whether we build 560 more houses or not, we have this in front of us. Loomis doesn't know that. Okay, so at this point, you've got not only to update, but to enhance this study to really guess at or identify what your needs are going to be over the next five-year period and subsequent to that, the next 10-year period. And so, until all that's done, you can't do a rate study.
So, in trying to direct our plans for the strategic meeting, two things. Number one, I would not recommend that we do this until July.
After the new general manager's here.
Well,
I mean, is that your tipping point?
No, the budget.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
The budget will be done by then. We will have hired a water lawyer.
Yeah, that's true.
There are several things that will happen in the interim, you know, between now and July that we need to have happen. The second part is something that I didn't know until last week when I sat in on a conversation with the Loomis folks. What's her name? She was
Cammie.
Cammie, okay. And Cammie actually identified two parts of the report that haven't been done. Okay. Is that correct? Amelia, you were there.
Well, I know that it needs to be updated. What else?
So that needs to be finished. And I think that that needs to be finished before we have a strategic planning committee. And is that possible?
What is she saying that wasn't completed on that report?
There were four parts.
I thought that was a 100% district-wide report.
Just the updating. It's just updating to today's.
She just said that there was.
When I heard in the conversation that we were finished with one and three, and somehow or other two and four were not completed.
Oh, one moment. Please hold. She was talking about.
The report is done, but there were other things that were involved.
She was talking about, here it is, she was talking about the contract that we signed with them originally.
Mm-hmm.
The scope of work, which I think we're out of money on. even though everything in the scope wasn't done. She's like, oh, well, there were so many changes that were made by previous GMs.
Yeah, we added to that scope because I don't know who put the scope together, but it wasn't all inclusive. She's got a legitimate.
Yeah. So they added. So everything that is not. Here's the.
Did she make a list for us? I don't remember.
I can tell you. Give me a second. Because I got everything right here at my disposal.
While she's looking for that, can I just make one quick point? When we had Loomis do that last rate study that they did, if I remember correctly, we literally called him and said, hey, we need this in a week.
Yeah, it was pants on fire for sure.
And that was probably why we got
what we got.
We got the reaction that we got.
Right.
We should never do that again.
You're right.
Because
we didn't have the information.
I understand, but what that did is that just made everyone involved look bad.
Oh yeah, right.
And so I think we need to make sure that a date that is set to have this done gives whoever that we're going to have do it enough time to. Legitimately and realistically.
Well, they were given information and they collected information that was not applicable to what we were looking for.
So,
and staff didn't have time. Didn't have time to create a 10-year CIP list.
I 100% agree with all that. I just want to make sure we don't do another one and say, oh, we need this in a week.
No. Yeah. Was that the rate study, right?
That was the developer rate study.
Yeah.
So that's what John's saying. We need to make sure that we have a bunch of things done.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying is that if we schedule this strategic planning committee meeting or workshop for July, will we have the information that we need to have?
No, the rate study is still dependent on the audits being complete. And so we're planning on having the updated CIP list done by October and then have the past audits done and be able to have a stronger footing for starting the rate studies. But those aren't going to be completed until February, March of 2027.
Oh.
I was going to say... You know, and I'll say it again at the board meeting, and everybody will gasp. It's got to be understood. We're going to do one more 1 year 218 notice.
Oh no, we should be able to do the 5 year.
You're going to turn all of that stuff around. Okay. You're going to be looking. I mean, the starting. But
you want to be realistic this one time, John? Why?
The starting block. The starting block for this is. Having, you know, five audits under your belt and full accounting for a fiscal year that is in progress.
Right.
Okay. Right now we have one done, two in the hopper with the auditors.
Yeah.
And two that are not done and being worked on at the lower level. The Robert Half people are working on them every day, but Cecilia's not working on them at all till we get through the.
I know.
Rate process or the budget process.
So what would be
you then have to get out in front of what a bond issue will entail, okay? And from the financing aspect, the notification aspect, there is an immense amount of work we put into that silly old security thing. Not a full-fledged district.
Oh, preaching to the choir.
So
Measure R.
So
work and money. It was pricey.
I'm not saying if somebody wants to sit here and say, and maybe when there's a general manager sitting there who's just been here for like 14 hours, here's what we're going to do in the next 6 months. You know, we're going to do complete update of our CIP. We're going to add in all the unknowns of the CIP. We're going to finish all these audits. We're gonna take this audit material to the bond administrator. We're going to prepare a bond program.
Right.
Public outreach. We're going to run a vote. We're going to have an active campaign to try to make sure that the district can stay alive because it passed the bond issue. And when we get all this done, we're cool. We'll do a five-year rate study. And
Wait a minute.
I mean, this is realistically where, when I'm looking at this, and I'm going to go, 12 months, no sweat. We'll do all this, plus everything else we're doing or trying to do.
I guess the...
No, you're right.
The strategic plan, I'm looking at that as a long-term project. And I don't know that we need to have all of that stuff done in order to do a strategic plan.
No, it needs to go into the strategic
plan. Yeah, exactly. It needs to go into the strategic plan.
It needs to go in there with whatever is an agreed-to timeline.
Right, exactly.
Precisely.
So that would be the point in my eyes or my viewpoint, mm-hmm. is that strategic plan, that would be what we would be doing.
Yes.
Along with, you know, maybe identifying some projects that need to be done immediately or ASAP.
Well, the other part of that, for example, is if you're going to discuss any alternative to a secondary source of water supply, like going outside and running pipes in here or going upriver
right.
to EID.
That's going to be additional.
Or you're going to deal with PFAS, or you're going to deal with indirect diversion of recycled water, or you're going to support it with, you got 725 acre feet over there, you're going to make that dig, you're going
right.
to dig another one, you're going to do rainwater harvesting, what all are you going to do?
Yes.
And how are you going to finance
that's,
that?
Yeah, that's
that
all going to be a part of it.
That's pretty strategic stuff.
So yeah, that's all strategic.
I have
So
a
why
thought.
Wait until July?
Well,
we know,
because
I mean,
we can't get this done. I can't get this done by July, any
Before.
Sooner than
okay.
July.
Okay.
I'm actually going to recommend that we do it in August or September.
So then I will wait.
We would have some real
to start finding that person. I think that the sooner we start it, the sooner we consult, because we're still going to consult with a company and have them come out and run it for us. And that way, instead of just throwing our ideas up into the ether, we have something that's written down that staff has agreed to, that they said, yes, I will have those audits done by August, and we will have the CIP study started, and we'll have this, and we'll have that, and then it'll also, for the looking for more water, it'll have all the different areas that we're going to look for, and then who's assigned to look and go and research that and meet with EID and find out what...
But that's a part
it's
of...
It's a plan. It's a
strategic
plan.
That's a part
plan.
Of making the plan.
I know.
That doesn't have to be done before we have the strategic workshop.
No.
And
it
so
but it has
the reason,
to be in there.
Yes,
in
and
it.
The reason I'm saying let's stretch it out a little bit is to give us the time to do that, to organize it and
okay.
put it together. And I don't believe that we need somebody to go through the Brown Act. Okay, we don't need to hire some kind of special facilitator to do that. We need perhaps Patrick or, you know, somebody that we know who understands the Brown Act.
You can actually, if you want to know exactly what we need, we have a complete audio tape of it. It's Mr. Dick Shanahan sitting right here with us sitting right out there. We were out there, not here. He was here. We were out there. And he did the whole thing.
Right.
It's going to be happening here, but at the April 15th meeting.
I don't
Patrick,
think we should do that. I know he said he would do it, but I...
Patrick has an agenda item to give us a presentation on the Brown Act and the changes to the Brown Act.
That doesn't mean we should
at this
look at it.
Coming
at this
meeting?
Yes, sir. If that's the will of the board.
I don't really think we should do that.
I mean, the changes to the Brown Act are different than a complete refresher course on the Brown Act itself. There have been some specific changes to the Brown Act that as it pertains to, for example, directors calling in and participating in meetings.
Okay.
There are pandemic-related type issues that came up that they dealt with.
Okay. And
but
do you want the Or do you want to think about it, and I'll ask you tomorrow?
Okay. I thought it was great of him to offer, but I don't think that the board meeting is the appropriate place to do it. I think that we've had those little presentations in the past, and he did make the comment that this was the first time anything in the Brown Act had been changed since the Brown Act was completed in the, 50s or 60s? I don't remember when it was. But
I don't remember either.
Anyway.
But yeah, and we did, I don't remember whether Dick decided that it didn't have to be a public meeting, or we did a public meeting and it was just us anyway. I don't know what it was, but it will tell you in the tape. I've listened
okay,
to it.
But all that aside, do you want to have Patrick give a presentation on the Brown Act and the changes in the Brown Act next week at the board meeting?
Just
the changes?
Right. Changes.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a more comprehensive look at the Brown Act.
Understand that anywhere between, well, let's keep it simple, 1 and 4 of the people that show up here
may or may not
in November are going to be
Linda, you had made the comment about wanting to push the strategic planning out a couple of months.
Yeah.
So my thought is instead of just a couple of months, should it be pushed out until after the election? Any new board? Because that's only like 2 months after that.
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
Because we have put this off far too long, number one. We need a direction.
Okay.
We need some kind of a plan.
Yeah.
And we can't really wait too much longer on this. The only reason I'm suggesting we take a little bit more time is to make sure we get all our ducks in a row.
Okay.
But no, new board, new general manager.
There's always something
impossible.
New.
It's, okay. Well, and it's impossible for people walking into a situation to help us. They can help make a plan, but to be the decision makers or any of that kind of stuff, they don't have enough information, and they're not going to have enough information for a while. Plus, we have to add information in the long run. The only reason I'm suggesting we wait a couple months or a month even is that we will have more information about audits being done. And we will have a budget approved or not approved. And we will have an idea about where we're going as far as the two most important things that this district has to deal with, and that is development and infrastructure. And those are the high level, as far as I'm concerned anyways, is in my observation, those are the two big criteria. The other two things, the Brown Act and the responsibility of the mission and vision, I don't think that we understand that, but certainly not the new changes to the Brown Act. And I'm sorry, but board responsibility, mission, vision, objective, that means that you don't just hand keys over to a brand new general manager without having a mission, a vision, and a direction. Goals, objectives, whatever you want to call it. If you read that stuff, you don't do that. The board should not be doing that.
Yeah, in fairness, I think it's reasonable to assume that the dictating the vision of the district is not easy to do if you've only been here for like 3
right.
weeks.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely, because the current board members know the ups and downs and the trials and tribulations, and they know the urgency of project. Yeah.
And they should know.
Yeah,
not always.
An experienced group.
Right. And so we should, because we should have done this a long time ago, and actually strategic planning workshops or committees workshops or meetings or whatever you want to call it, most of CSDA, recommendations are that you do them every year, even if it's a short version of one that you did the year before. It's a checkpoint.
So strategic planning committees or workshops, whatever you want to call them, really need to be done very regularly, not every 20 years. And that's our job.
Right.
That's the board's job, and we have not done it. So I don't want to go too much longer without doing it. And we really need a place to start from. Even if we
but
make changes and, you know...
As we go, yeah, we have you. If you don't have a plan or a document or something to start with, you're never going to get anywhere. But you don't want to have a professional organization come in.
No, I don't think we need that. I think what we need is somebody who is skilled at making a little bit of direction here. That we know what we want to deal with, and when we hire a facilitator like we were going to hire before,
yeah.
Great gal. A terrific plan, etc., but it was not what we really needed to the degree that we needed it. I think that this breaking it down into these three areas are more along the lines of what we need, and if anybody has anything to add to that, certainly, you know, that's what we're here for.
I think that we need a facilitator. I think that we need a professional to come in and run the show and get everybody organized and sit everybody and sit everybody down, but they do know how to facilitate a strategic planning meeting.
I think that's...
And I have never done that. Have you done it, John? Have you ever
done it? I've been through... I can't tell you how many of them I've been through. I haven't run one, but I've been in one.
Okay.
I don't know, 10 times probably.
And? So?
And it's... They were always... And you know... At a large corporation, there probably is a specialist who can do that, but we have to hire one. I mean, we don't have that kind of...
expertise.
I mean, and when they did them group by group, I mean, the years I worked at CVS, I mean, twice we went up to Harvard, and then we had a resident... the old Vanderbilt mansion out on Long Island that CVS owned, and that's what we used for get them all out of the building and do it there. And it would be overnight. I mean, it wasn't
John,
one
that's
day.
CBS.
I know, but...
This is not CBS.
No, but I'm telling you, you need a facility. It can't be one of us.
No. I was not... That's not where I was going with this.
Okay.
I wanted to identify the three areas that we want to work on. And if it takes a $10,000 facilitator, then I want them to do what we want done. I don't want all this baloney or not even the kumbaya stuff because this is not a kumbaya board.
No.
And so I really identified these three particular areas because that's what we need. This is what we need. And so if you want to get a facilitator, that's fine, but they need to understand this is what we need.
Yes. They will...
I mean, if somebody thinks that I am not going in the direction that we should be going in as far as what we need...
Oh, I agree completely. I agree completely. That's what, you know, that's where we need to start
and
what we need to do.
Whoever we get has to understand that this is what we need.
Okay.
Not their presentation of what they think we need. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But this is what we need. And so if you have expertise, especially in the water operations or, you know, helping people decide. I mean, for another district, maybe in the there's districts that just do cemeteries.
Yes.
Or there's a district down in Southern California that does Long Beach Harbor.
Sure.
So
and there's library districts. There's
and so
kinds.
What we need is somebody who is at least familiar with directing, you know, CIPs and water operations and, you know, coming up with the list and figuring out where we are. And that's why you had suggested Loomis, because they did the report. And
if you call the guy that runs CSDA and explain to him where we are, I wonder if they would have any suggestions.
Okay.
You can try that. See if...
Thank you.
Cemetery districts are good because there's a limited public input.
Right.
They're quiet.
They're quiet, yes.
So are we in agreement that we're going to try to approach it from that perspective, getting a facilitator who's willing to focus on those three things?
Yeah, and I would, until we figure that out and get our ducks in a row, you're not going to bring that to the board this time, are you? Or are you?
I will bring it to the board 2 months before you guys want to have your meeting, because I also don't want to find somebody who would be a facilitator who, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Because nobody wants to wait in the first week in April to say, oh, we'll do something in July or August. That.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We on item 8?
We're done.
Item 8?
Oh, I'm sorry. Brad Hart's resolution.
Do we do this at a board meeting? Or
this will be on the board meeting, and then we'll present the resolution to him at his party on May 1st.
That's what I was going to ask. That's,
yeah, I think. What do you think? It's. Yeah. I mean, that's the...
I didn't know whether we read it at the board at the meeting, or we just gave it to him, or we do it here. I don't know. I don't know what's legal, but what's not legal.
We certainly, like, if it was an employee who was getting a resolution or a director who was retiring, we'd present it here.
We have to sign it anyway.
Yeah, you all sign it. So
we have to approve, vote on it, and then sign it, right?
I generally have you sign it before you vote on, because, I mean, hello. So I think it's best if we bring him here and then also present it to him again at the...
Okay.
Don't you?
That's fine.
Okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, the resolution.
So
I'll call him and see if he can come.
So you're going to talk about it at the board meeting, but not give it to him and give it to him at his party?
No, we're going to give it to him twice.
No, we'll officially give it to him here.
Okay.
And then we may want to read it again at his party.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so he'll have the original one and a copy.
Because that's going to be a big deal. I think they're inviting the whole community. Huh?
Yeah, May 1st at noon at...
the park.
He said...
Stonehouse Park, I think.
He said it is at Stonehouse Park at the plaza.
Right. Okay.
So, I'm sorry. I want to go back for 1 minute, if that's legal. Can I go back for 1 minute?
You can go back.
Under the strategic plan, what is the plan?
What is the plan to make the meeting?
Yeah,
the plan is that we will start to talk about. Well, I agree with everything that you said. I don't need to recreate your work about our top three strategies and things that we need to work on. So then a couple months before you're ready to get going on it, I'll start looking for a facilitator.
Okay.
And we'll dig down in. I mean, like, she insisted on 2 days. But I thought 2 half days.
No, a day and a half.
Oh, a day and a half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys can decide if that's how much time you want to spend on it, or more or less, or... But I do think it's a good idea for this board to be the one who's setting this.
Get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So my thought is that we just bring it to the board as a item that the personnel committee discussed.
Okay.
And we're looking into it further,
okay.
And, you know, we want to make sure that that this workshop, I guess we want to call
uh-huh.
it, does direct their energies, the facilitators directs our...
The board's energy and
the
directed,
board's energy
yeah.
is directed to the makeup of the meeting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And... So do you just want to include that in your report
sure.
that you read to us? Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Rod Hart resolution, we love it. I'm going to take that to the board. I'll invite him.
Okay.
Did we have something to put in director comments?
I don't think so.
Or was that for improvements tomorrow that we were going to put something in director comments?
I don't know.
What we were talking about. Anyway.
We were talking about, are you talking about this morning? We were just talking about the cert thing.
Okay.
But we're good here.
Well, we've got that settled.
Yeah.
Okay, lots of work.
Okay, if everybody's No, there's nobody in the audience, so if directors and staff are satisfied with input,
very.
The meeting's adjourned.
Yes, good.
Thank you.
Okay.